Our scripture reading this morning, again, as I mentioned, is from 1 John chapter 1, reading verses 5 to 10. You can read it on the scripture, the screen behind me, or else in your Bibles. Let us hear the word of the Lord. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, good morning and great to see you, and welcome to those visiting with us, some friends I haven't seen in a while. It's great that we're in the house of the Lord together to worship and to hear from him. I hope you've come ready to hear from the Lord. Have you? Have you come to encounter God in a powerful way? I pray so. And without a doubt, I know that the Holy Spirit is moving in power in this place today. And he just wants our hearts to be open. He wants us to be completely in complete surrender to him, to his presence, transforming us in this place. As we come under the ministry of God's word this morning, this passage has so and contains so many important spiritual truths. Certainly so many that we won't cover it all in one sermon, but just some important truths I want to express to you this morning through this passage. And we certainly need the Holy Spirit's help in understanding every part of God's word, not just in understanding, but in applying it to our lives every day. So I hope and pray that each day as you read your Bible and study it, that you will certainly always remember to ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand and then put it into practice. You know, I want to begin just with sharing a little bit about my past. When I was a kid, I had poor eyesight. And on one occasion, while we were driving as a family on a very cold winter day, I got really concerned because I saw this elderly woman at the end of her driveway. And I didn't think that looked right. So I told my parents, and you know, we should help. We should maybe slow down and see if she's okay. But as we got closer, it was just the blue mailbox. It wasn't an old woman at the end of her driveway in need. It was just a mailbox that was blue. And then my parents realized I had a problem. My eyes needed to get checked. And they needed to get checked really, really, really fast. And sure enough, I had nearsightedness, which I'm sure I'm not the only one in here that has that issue. So I could see objects up close very clearly. However, things that were far away, very blurry. Like pretty much all of you now. Especially at the back, it's just a big blur. So anyways, I got glasses, and after receiving my glasses, my goodness, when I put them on, I could see so much more clearly. The whole world changed. My glasses gave me new sight, gave me a new perspective on the whole world around me. No more squinting. And if you've done that before, that's never. If you're doing that right now, get your eyes checked. If I see you squinting at me. In this passage, we come across this important truth about walking in the light. We see that when God opens our eyes to the light, he gives us a completely new perspective. You know, when you accept Christ as your Savior, Jesus came to be the light of the world, and when you place your trust in him, knowing that he came to rescue you from sin, boy, your whole life changes. What you see changes completely. He gives us a completely new perspective. We see the way that God wants us to see. We see what now is real and what is true, but only because we are now, as believers in Jesus Christ, born again, spiritually alive, no longer spiritually dead, walking in the darkness. This is the power of God's love for us, and that in Christ we have the answer to sin. We have salvation. But boy, when you can finally see what is real, what is true, what is there, it changes everything about your life and how you live. Now, later in verse 5, as I mentioned, you know, John, the author of this, you know, the beloved disciple of Jesus who wrote this letter, he says that the person who walks in darkness does not practice the truth. So we need to remember that word today, truth, because here John uses truth as a synonym for light. So yes, God is light also means God is truth. The banners behind me remind us that every Sunday, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. So again, when we are born again at salvation, the way we look at and live in this world completely changes, because now God has opened our eyes to the truth. And that work, that incredible transforming work of God, is not based on anything that we can do. It's all based on what Jesus has done for us. Are you walking in the truth today? There are a few questions I'm going to challenge you with, and that's one of them. Is the truth in you? Are you walking in the truth? In verse 5 of this passage, John begins with the nature of God. He begins by telling us something very important about God. And let me tell you, what we know and believe about God is essential, because what one knows and believes about God affects how they live for him. I love this quote by A.W. Tozer, who said, "What comes to mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us." Now, I don't know what all you know about God, let alone what you believe about God, because that's important too. You can know a lot but not believe what you know. So what you know about God is very important, because it determines, influences how you live. The choices that you make, where you go, what you do for a living, how you spend your time, what you watch on TV, what you're thinking about even now. So it's important what we know about God, isn't it? And so John begins with teaching us something very important about God, his nature. And he begins by saying, "This is the message we have heard from him and declared to you." I love already we see this vertical to horizontal. God's message came to John, and then John is just sharing what God has told him about himself. So we begin with this claim to authority. John isn't making this up. These are not his own personal opinions or ideas about God. This is God's message about himself. And what John tells us about God is what God has told us about himself here in his word. And what do we learn about the nature of God from John in this verse 5 of your passage today? God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God is light. God is light in that he reveals all that we need to see. God is light in that there is only truth in him. God is light in that he is also 100% good. He is perfectly good, perfectly holy, perfectly powerful, perfectly just. He is perfect in every way. This is our God. By contrast, darkness represents sin and evil. In John chapter 3, verses 19 to 20, we learn these words. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. So in this life, you will either accept that God's word is truth, or you will reject it and believe that it is not. It is lies, it's deceit, it's falsehood. But what's important to understand about light and darkness in this passage is that walking into darkness is a reference to living your life patterned by sinful desires, and that you're okay with that. But in this first verse, John is saying God is light. And just think about how profound and deep this truth is about God. This is a passage, this is a verse we can sometimes just read over pretty quickly, but have you ever really stopped to think about how God is light, just for a moment? Just imagine walking into a dark room. You see nothing, but there's so much in there. You turn on the light and you see so clearly what's there, what's not there. What's real? What's not real? What's true? What's not true about this room? Is that important to you? Knowing what is real? Knowing why you're here? Without light, there would be virtually no life on earth. Fact. Photosynthesis. If you know anything about science, photosynthesis requires light. The light from the sun provides the energy which feeds life on earth. Without God, there would be no light. There would be no life of any kind. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Yes, even Jupiter. And all of the solar system and all of the stars. Just look up and you will see them. So yes, there would be no physical life and there would be no spiritual life as well. For God is the author of all life. John goes on to say that God is so full of light and so absent of darkness that if we claim that we are following God and there is darkness in our lives, then we are lying. The truth is not in us. That's why it's important in this passage today, as I pose some questions to you for you to reflect upon, are you living truth? Is the truth in you? In verse 6, John goes on to say, if we have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. John was aware, writing to believers, that there were those that were not living the truth. And so he addresses this issue. And he uses the word fellowship and walk in this verse. And let me just say that the idea of fellowship, the word fellowship is one of the most important ideas in this letter of John's. And in the ancient Greek, the word fellowship speaks of a sharing, a communion, a common life. It speaks of a living, breathing, loving relationship with one another. And in this case, that loving relationship is with God. Are you living in a right relationship with God? Are you in that fellowship with him? And then John also uses the word walk, and John speaks of a walk in darkness, indicating a pattern of living. You see, our walk, how we live, will reflect our relationship with God or lack of it, our fellowship with God. And the word walk does not speak of an occasional lapse, but of a lifestyle of darkness, of living in sin and evil without repentance, without remorse, without guilt. You see, once a person believes in Jesus, he is brought out of spiritual darkness into spiritual light. In other words, salvation will have a direct impact on a person's life. You will see clearly now. He will not live and act the same way as before. It's a transformation that begins inside of us spiritually by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the grace and mercy of God. But once a person believes in Christ Jesus and gives his life to him, there is a complete change. And Jesus describes the life of a believer in that there is to be a difference between those that believe and those that do not. Jesus described it as a good tree bears good fruit. And James said that a person who says he has faith but has no action to back up that faith has dead faith. John is saying if you are claiming that you are a believer but live as if you are not, you are lying. And this unfruitful lifestyle is described as walking in darkness. And so the question John poses to his readers in this passage and to us is, again, are you in the light or in the darkness? But of these claims, both of these claims, you know, walking in the darkness, walking in the light, they call us to examine ourselves, to see where our hearts lie. Am I walking in the darkness? Lord, open my eyes so that I may see truly what it is that I need from you. Because only one of those allows us to have fellowship with one another in the purifying blood of Jesus, and that is walking in the light. Look with me at verse 7 as John goes on. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Again, here in verse 7, walking in the light means acting correctly, living transparently before others. But it's also much more than that. It is this spiritual concept and truth of abandoning sin as we walk closer and closer with the Lord. You see, walking in the light is an active, it's an ongoing process of surrender to God each day, of obedience to Him, done so out of our love for God. Life and light are in Jesus. And His life is the light of man that allows us to stand in God's holy presence. Now, in order to walk in the light, let me share with you two things that we find in this passage that I want to encourage you with this morning. In order to walk in the light, you must allow the light to shine and avoid the darkness, quite simply. Again, first of all, allow the light to shine. When we walk in God's light, we become His light. The light of the world. You know, light truly is one of the most prevalent themes from Genesis to Revelation. You know, in Genesis, we find, you know, before the creation of the world, God hovering over the unformed earth. But then He speaks, and light enters into existence. And so at the beginning of the Bible, we see this reference to light, and then it runs straight through the Bible to Revelation, where we are told our new heaven and new earth will be illuminated with God's glory, so bright that no sun or moon will be needed to shine its light. So it's a theme all throughout Scripture. And of His followers, Jesus says in Matthew 5, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light, let your truth shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." I love that passage. I love how Jesus very simply gives His followers instructions, and He begins by saying, "You are the light of the world." You see, when we truly accept Jesus into our lives, and He will change your life. I love that about God. When we truly accept Christ into our lives, we as believers are called to then spread God's light amid a world of darkness, a world of evil, a world of despair. And this could mean things including sharing the gospel, doing good deeds of kindness and compassion in order to glorify our Father in heaven. This could mean also loving people, showing forgiveness, and so on, having patience. We all hum that little catchy tune before, right? "This little light of mine, I'm gonna..." That's right. We have all hummed that. And did you know that Jesus, when, you know, talking to us about being the light of the world in this tune, it didn't mean that we have to turn our porch lights on at night. It doesn't mean that. He was talking about letting the Holy Spirit shine brightly within us. The Holy Spirit is sent to each believer to dwell within us. And He comes to dwell in His fullness the moment that you decide to follow Jesus. When you repent of your sin and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that He was raised from the dead. So at salvation, when that moment comes, the Holy Spirit comes in His fullness and dwells within you. And He lives in us to help us radiate Christ to the world around us as we are led by the Holy Spirit each day. And so what Jesus was teaching His followers was to shine His light. And to be the light in times of darkness means you offer hope when there is none. And perhaps you know someone today who is without hope, who is struggling. Perhaps you offer encouragement when it's needed most, or you offer kindness despite being surrounded by hate and persecution and those that are putting you down. What does it mean to be light in times of darkness? It means you offer patience when you're met with impatience. I could go on, and I'm sure you could think of some ideas too, but let me just help you remember that when Jesus says to His followers to shine His light, basically, He's just wanting you to offer Jesus to the world around you. The way He talked, the way He spoke, the way He walked, what He did. You are His hands and His feet. You are His words. You offer patience. You offer kindness. You offer gentleness. We do this again, and all what comes to your mind when you do this. We do this not to bring any glory to ourselves. That would be self-righteous pride. Rather, our hope is to show others the goodness of God's light through Christ in us, so that they may come to have a relationship with God. Again, God is the center of it all. Now, in verse 6, I do want to point back to the fact that John deals with this false claim to have fellowship with God, yet walking in darkness. How is that possible? Well, it's not. It is possible that there are some who claim to have a relationship with God, yet they do not have that based on how they're living. Those who claim to be Christians yet walk in darkness lie and do not practice the truth. That's what John is saying. For as John says, God has no darkness in him at all. He is light. Therefore, if one claims to be in fellowship with God, but lives a lifestyle patterned by sin and evil, this is not a truthful claim. The light is not in them. So to live out the truth is to walk in the light as he is in the light. And to live in the light is to desire what is right in the eyes of God. To each day want to please the Lord with your thoughts and your actions and your motives. The opposite, to do what is evil in the sight of God, is to walk in darkness. You know, there are times, and I wonder if you've thought this too, that you've come across people in the church, and as you get to know them and as you get to observe how they live, it's almost as if they don't believe in the Bible anymore. I ask myself, and I've done it more than once, is the light even on in there? The light of Christ, that is? Maybe it's not. Maybe it never was. God's word is very clear, and it stares at us right in the face whenever we open his word. Yep, there are those that reject it and dismiss it. They do all the opposite of what God tells them to do, and it makes you wonder, where's the struggle to do what is right? Where's the remorse or the shame or the guilt? And I'm not talking about sinless perfection, because even as believers, we're going to fall. And we're going to need God's forgiveness each and every day. But for believers, for those who call themselves Christians, yet choose to live a lifestyle of sin without the repentance and the guilt and the shame and the remorse and the calling for help, was the light ever there in the first place? Listen, all of God's word is the truth. And you either accept all of it as truth or you don't, right? There is no middle ground. You can't cut and paste the word of God. That's why it's so important you know what the Bible says, friends. If you remain ignorant, and that's very true, and that's true for all of us. There's so much we don't know about God's word. But what are we doing about knowing what God's word says about, well, everything? Especially today, there's so many hot topics and issues that if we don't know what God's word says about it, let me tell you, you're going to be easily swayed and influenced by very persuasive voices of our secular culture. And that, unfortunately, finds its way into the church and into many denominations. And then you wonder, do they believe in the Bible anymore? 2 Timothy 4 verse 3 warns about what people will be like in the last days. And we are in the last days, folks. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. That's the teachings of Jesus Christ. They will follow their own desires, and they will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. So if you're hearing something from God's word and it's making you uncomfortable, that's a good thing. That's the Holy Spirit prompting, convicting, helping you to understand that perhaps there's something in your life that needs to change. In Matthew 7, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I," Jesus speaking, "will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" So John's claim in verse 6 about those that were calling themselves Christians yet walking in the darkness, well, Jesus speaks to them as well in this passage. So in order to walk in the light, again, you must be born again. You must follow the word of God completely each day to be informed by God's word. So read your Bibles, study the scriptures, and do it together. The authority of God's word must take first place in your life and everything about your life, from parenting to marriage, from your finances and how you work them out, to your work ethic, to how you speak, to how you spend your time. It's all in the Bible. And in order to walk in the light, let your light shine. And second of all, avoid the darkness. As I said earlier, walking into light is a daily choice, and you make that choice by avoiding the darkness, by avoiding evil, sin. It is easy to get the attitude that I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, so it doesn't matter how I live. That's untrue. It's untrue because your life affects other lives and because there is consequences to walking in darkness. So in those times that I can't see, I'm at risk of being injured. And the same thing applies to us spiritually. If you walk into a room at night and you don't turn on the light, you're going to bump into something. You're going to fall. You could cause an injury to you. And just apply that spiritually. If you walk in the dark, you're going to make choices that aren't pleasing to the Lord, but that are instead evil in His eyes. You can tell the whole world that you're a Christian, but the things you do, the places that you go, they speak much more loudly than what you say. Be careful then with the situations you put yourself in. Give careful thought, as Proverbs says, to the path that your feet are walking on. Stay steadfast. Stay steadfast in the Lord. Pay attention to what you watch and what you listen to. Again, walking in the darkness, if I could just explain that a little bit more, means living in sin. In Galatians 5 verses 19 to 26, Paul the Apostle gives us a list of sins that we are to stay away from, things that God doesn't desire for us to do, but to stay away from because they are against His character. He is light. He is holy. These sinful acts are to be rejected and turned away from. And let me tell you, with God's power, we can, and you can overcome any of these sinful desires. Any temptation that comes upon you to act upon them, with God's power, you can overcome it. And he lists them. He lists them in Galatians 5 where he says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of rage, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So walking in the darkness is very clear here in terms of what that looks like, what that means. And Paul gives us another list, another group of sinful desires, evil things Christians are to reject. God doesn't want us to have any part of that. He says in 1 Corinthians 6, another list. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men or women who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And so as you read through the scriptures, you will come across important instruction on how we live for Jesus while we're on this earth. And the scriptures are clear. And I love how God's word, as we need it so desperately, acts as a spotlight. So just picture God's word as a spotlight just moving in front of you, revealing. It will reveal what pleases the Lord. Now look with me at verse 7. Here we uncover, lastly, in this passage, because I'm going to end on verse 7, we uncover the blessings of walking in the light, because there are blessings. There are blessings when you obey the Lord and follow His word. You know, when I go walking in the morning, there are important benefits, that's for sure. It's good for my heart. It's good for my bones. I'm able to be still, as Cindy said, just to take a moment to prepare for the day. Or perhaps when you go for a walk, it's for other reasons, but there's a lot of benefits to just spending time in nature for a walk. But similarly, there are important benefits of walking with God. Walking with God. John lists two. He says we have fellowship with one another. Did you see that in verse 7? Let me read it again. We have fellowship with one another, and second of all, the blood of Jesus cleanses us, purifies us from all sin. That is, if we walk in the light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, number one, we have fellowship with one another, and number two, the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. What amazing blessings that we have. The great commandments that we learn in Scripture, the greatest two are to love God and to love one another. Again, these are the two dimensions of our relationships. Again, a vertical relationship with God and a horizontal relationship with each other. And they affect one another. When we walk in the darkness, both relationships are affected. We no longer have a healthy relationship with God or with those around us. For a broken relationship with God will influence your relationships. It's true. But when we walk in the light, the grace that heals our relationship with God, when we confess our sin, when we make things right with God, then we will find that he will bring healing to our relationships around us. So this morning, are you having any trouble with someone in your life? Are there some relationships that have soured, or you're not getting along with people in your family or at work? You know, we've all experienced being hurt by people close to us. And there might be some people, I don't know, only God knows. There might be people in your life that you have just abandoned and avoided because things aren't right. Well, let me just ask you, are you right with God? Because deal with that first, because perhaps there's an issue that you need to deal with God. Maybe a forgiveness issue, a sin that you haven't confessed. And get right with God, and you will find that then you will be able to make those relationships around you better again. But it has to start with God. Because having been forgiven by God, we learn, for instance, to practice forgiveness to one another. That's just one example. Even with those we consider enemies. But praise the Lord this morning that grace restores and grace renews us completely. John says, but if we walk in the light, again, how's your walk going this morning? This means to walk in obedience before God without holding on to known sin, resisting the conviction of the Holy Spirit on a particular point. Don't resist any longer. The Christian life is described as walking, which implies activity. And Christian life feeds upon careful thought and examination. It also displays itself in action. They will know we are Christians by our love. And one blessing we have also because of our walk in the light is fellowship with one another. And John wants to make that very clear. That's one of the blessings, that we will be able to have this fellowship with other believers who walk in the light and enjoy that life together. You can meet a complete stranger, but because you have that one thing in common, Jesus, like after you've talked a while, you've known that person for a while. There's really no words to that, but there's nothing like the church, isn't there, in this whole world? That we can come as, you know, complete strangers from so many different backgrounds, yet we come because we have this one faith, this one baptism, this one Savior in common, and because of him, we can fellowship, we can share life, we can enjoy a loving relationship that was born out of God's love for us. Now, this verse ends with, again, that other second heavenly blessing that we have in Christ, and that is, John says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So as we walk in the light, we also enjoy the continual cleansing of Jesus. And the biblical truth is this, we need a continual cleansing because the Bible says we will continue to sin even after salvation. And so this continual cleansing is ours by the blood of Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sins. And that was just not sins past, but sins present and sins future. And perhaps you've heard this before, but when you do sin, be quick to confess your sin. And based upon this word, and in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Don't you love that verse? That verse gives us hope and gives us strength and gives us love. By boldly declaring, when Jesus said, I am the light of the world, Jesus established without question that he is the very presence of God with us. And he said, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. So this morning, is the truth in you? Is the truth in you? Are you walking in the light? It all comes back to this call to follow Jesus, the true light giver. So as we end, and as our musicians come forward for our closing hymn, commit yourself to his life-giving word. Trust him and let his word speak to you today. And as you hear the word of God speaking to you, put his word into practice. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the incredible truth, the spiritual truth that we learn. And we need your help understanding and also applying it to our lives. We thank you, God, today that you are a God who is light, that in you there is no darkness at all. So, God, our prayer is that you will help us to walk in the light as you are in the light. Forgive us, Lord, when we have, Lord, walked in darkness. Forgive us, Lord, when we have sinned and we confess, Lord, our need for you today. And, Lord, if anyone here today has never committed their life to Christ, Lord, we pray that they will look to you, that they will know today that you have come to rescue us. You have come to give us hope. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love for us and for dying on the cross for our sins. We thank you for forgiving and for purifying us. And we ask, God, that you will now heal and strengthen our relationship with you, first and foremost, and with everyone around us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.